Mixtape Podcast.
Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling through. Oh, don't panic, dog. Grow it, boo. I can't lose. No, I can't lose.
Yo, Knicks fans, what's good? I'm Ja So Focused.
I'm French, the bro host, and we would like to welcome you to
the Knicks Take Podcast.
This is episode 79.
And this is a weekly podcast where we bring you the biggest Knicks news of the week.
Make sure you follow us on our socials. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter/X by searching for the Knicks Take.
Also, make sure you check out the website, knickstake.com.
And lastly, if you love what you hear, please subscribe to us on whatever platform you're watching or listening to us on. I say that all the time. Listen to us on. I don't know how to speak, but it's all good. Hit the thumbs up button. Hit the notification bell if you're watching on YouTube. But most importantly, share this with any Knicks fans who might enjoy the show.
And now the show.
Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling. Oh, the panic, dog. Grow a bill, I can't lose.
He stabilized this franchise.
No, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling.
All right. French, how are you doing this week?
Yo, the Knicks finally win. So
every time I ask you how you're doing, you talk about the Knicks.
Because that's how it correlates. But if the Knicks is losing, my week is pretty bad. If the Knicks won, it's a pretty good week. If they winning like crazy, it's a great week.
All right. Well,
that's all that it is.
Outside,
you know what I mean?
Outside of the Knicks, you know, it was an okay week for me. You know, my back was kind of, you know, out of whack. But,
okay.
It was a good week for Knicks fans.
Why your back out of whack?
Why is my back out of whack, Bars? I don't know. I don't know why. It's just been getting sore, you know. Had my girl rub my back for me. So, you know, thank you, baby. Thank you, baby, for when, you know, I know you're going to watch this at some point. Thank you for rubbing my back and trying to help me feel better. But, you know, maybe all of the pressure that the Knicks were feeling, maybe I was feeling that in my back because they were coming into this stretch. They were really looking at possibly being down to the 7-8 seed coming into this week when they were getting ready to face off against Cleveland, getting ready to face off against Atlanta, getting ready to face off against the Orlando Magic. All of those games that we're going to cover on this week's episode of the Knicks Take Podcast, a.k.a. trying to figure out whether the Alec Burks Bojan Bogdanović trade was actually a great trade podcast. this was a decent week.
I'm still stuck on the pressure on your back during this stretch. I was trying to make a joke out of it, but my fault. Go ahead, keep going.
I knew you were trying to make a joke out of it, which is why I was talking so much. But yeah, we're going to talk about those games. We're going to talk about how important these games were for the New York Knicks was this week. We're going to talk about some injury news and potentially getting some people back and the importance of that and who was more important or most important. Not that those things sincerely matter in the grand scheme of things, but we'll, you know,
yeah, we topics, still
topics to
it.
Talk about. And then we're going to do as we always do. We're going to preview the upcoming games of the week. But let's go back to the first game where the Knicks played against the Cleveland Cavaliers,
which I determined was the game of the week, in my opinion. The game started off, it was a scary situation in the opening minutes of this game. Jalen Brunson went up for a jump shot, came down, took a scary fall. He was holding his knee, couldn't really walk on his own legs.
Mm-hmm.
Coming down from that injury, had to be carried off the floor, kind of, because he was tripping over his ankle. He couldn't really feel his feet.
Yep.
And once he went down, the air was pretty much knocked out of Knicks Twitter's chest. because they was panicking. Like,
don't say they. You were panicking too.
I was panicking, but I wasn't posting nothing crazy.
I was also panicking.
I wasn't like everybody was talking about. Oh my God, Brunson tore his ACL. He's done for the season. The Knicks. This is always happening.
I didn't think that though. I was hoping not. I was hoping it wasn't that. But
you know what I was thinking?
What?
Soon season, as I place a bet on the Knicks winning the, going to the Eastern Conference Finals, this is what happens. All I gotta do is place a bet on the Knicks, and then the season just goes awry. But
sorry, mom.
Yeah, my fault, mom.
Your son bets.
You don't like to hear about gambling, and but this is the first bet I did it like all year. But back to the game. Miles McBride comes into the game, checks right in, and he never checked out of the game. He pretty much just had his footprint all over this game. The Cleveland Cavaliers seemed like they still couldn't match up well with the Knicks. They got embarrassed by the Knicks. Miles McBride did an in-and-out crossover on Evan Mobley that had him touching earth. Well, Miles McBride going to hit the layup, and then he goes to look at the bench like, damn, he's first team all defense, second team all defense. So they just was looking bad. Josh Hart hit a step back three in the corner right in front of the Cavs bench in the fourth quarter to seal the game. Mm-hmm. Right before he popped Donovan Mitchell's chain, and the Cavs bench just looking at him. They ain't had nothing to say. The Knicks won this game 107-98. And this just is another example of a regular season standings really don't matter because they're the number two seed, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Right.
And we beat on them without our four starters. Mm-hmm. And Jalen Brunson, OG Anunoby, Mitchell Robinson, Julius Randle. And this still wasn't a close game. I felt like the Knicks had this game wire to wire, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember the Cleveland Cavaliers ever catching a lead in this game. But I don't know. I'm not worried about Cleveland even more so after this game. What were your thoughts on this matchup?
I recall saying last week that I thought that the Knicks were going to lose this game. But I also said that after being negative on Alec Burks and Bojan Bogdanovic's performances, I said I wouldn't be surprised if one or both of them popped for this game. And watching this game, I was just like, oh, Bojan definitely popped for this game. You know, was he the most important player in this game? No, he wasn't. But he was definitely needed for this victory. He was his offensive production was definitely necessary, especially when Jalen Brunson went down, and he comes out there and he's hitting threes, and he's playing good on offense, and they're not completely exploiting him defensively. You know, I could expect more from Bojan. You know, considering how many people loved the trade and thought it was a great trade. Like, I could have expected more. But, you know, after having lowered expectations for both Bojan and Burks, this was the kind of game where I was like, okay, great. This is what we need. If we have this, then it makes this a completely fine trade. Regardless of what Alec Burks does.
And you remember saying Bojan can't guard nobody. You see him locking up Dean Wade? Come on now. That's Cleveland Cavalier legend who helped them beat the Boston Celtics later on this week. Dean Wade, who, how much he had? 20 points against the Celtics? He had zero against Bojan.
Can I ask
Come on, lock up. Let's talk about it. Talk to me.
Yo, he locked up Dean Wade. Is that really?
Yo, that's D. Wade.
Is that really not? Yeah, D Wade, not Dwayne Wade, Dean Wade, Dean Wade.
Come on, stop hating.
Yeah, nobody respects you for locking up Dean Wade. Sorry to say, there's nobody.
Come on, D Wade played 20 minutes and had Dunkin' Donuts.
Right,
feel me?
Yeah,
lock up. He could play defense off the bench. Come on, give him his credit. Let's talk about it.
No,
no more Bojan disrespect. And he had 20 points, second leading scorer of the team.
Let's not and say we did.
Don't make me look up Quentin Grimes.
Quentin Grimes, actually, the thing that's saving this trade right now is that Quentin Grimes hasn't been healthy and is still having issues with his knee. And, you know, that might be a thing that goes on for the rest of the season. And that's what's going to, at the very least, keep this a trade as a positive for the Knicks, especially if Boyan continues to produce offensively. And he doesn't have injury issues. He's not really the picture of health either. With that being said, though, Boyan is not the part of the trade that I was upset about. It was the Burks part. It was not even the Burks part. I figured you could get one and keep Quentin Grimes. Because I didn't think both for Quentin Grimes was a good trade. That was the part that irked me. So, and, you know, judging this trade right now, you can look at it and be like, yeah, maybe we didn't need to trade for both. Maybe we could have just got Boyan, found a way to keep Alec Burks. You gave away your last young piece that you could give away in a trade for value, and you give away 2 second-round picks and other players.
Mitch.
Well, whatever. We'll,
he was only drafted in 2019.
Yeah, that was 5 years ago.
Yeah,
it's not RJ. It's not Quentin Grimes. But anyway, the point being that, you know, Quentin Grimes had as a piece that you could give away. You probably don't want to give away Mitch. You want to have Mitch as your foundational piece. Quentin Grimes is a piece that you want to give away for a star trade. And you gave him away for Boyan and Burks, and one of those players ain't playing well. But
who can
anyway,
also be used in a star trade?
Let's get back to the Cavs game. Last thing on the Cavs game, that is the fact that Josh Hart he basically said, yeah, I was gonna trash talk the Cavs bench, but then I seen Donovan Mitchell's chain, and I wanted to lift it up and say, oh, that's nice, that's nice, yo, that is. You gotta square up.
Especially since y'all wanna, because the Cavs, they make it a point to like post pictures in the Cleveland chain after the games,
right,
and post it on social media. So to get your chain snatched like that after getting cut on your home floor with no Jalen Brunson, that's kind of disrespectful.
It's not kind of
disrespectful. After hitting a step back three in their face.
Exactly. I understand that Donovan Mitchell and Josh Hart are friends, but come on, bro. Well, after the shot that is like, oh yeah, after this shot, y'all not coming back.
Yeah,
and we didn't even talk about the shot that was after that that really sealed the game from Deuce McBride on the other side of the court.
Yeah, you Dante know, set him up.
Yeah, that was Deuce showed out for this game and proved that, yeah, maybe we didn't need the Alec Burks part of the trade. But anyway.
We also didn't talk about the fact that Josh Hart had a triple-double with 19 rebounds.
This is also true.
10 assists, 13 points. Mm-hmm. He's been balling. He had 3 3-pointers this game. It seemed like he's a lot more confident in his 3-point shot. So this period that we not having our starters is proven to help the other guys get a little rhythm and get some chemistry with each other. So I think that's going to really prove to be a really good thing for this team moving forward, especially when the playoffs get here and we got our guys like Randall coming back, who's going to be out of rhythm. Mm-hmm. We're probably going to rely on our bench players and the supporting cast a lot more than ever before while these guys get in rhythm. So
this entire time, I was trying to figure out whether you were accurate in saying that the Knicks had the lead the entire time. No, there were 5 lead changes in this game.
Okay.
But
didn't feel like it, though.
No, the Knicks definitely made sure that their presence was felt in this game. Let's move on to the next game.
Shout out to Precious Achiuah for this game, too. Like, you 6-for-8, 1-for-1 from 3. Yeah. We ain't even mentioned you. You deserve some credit
credit for this win. This was a very big win and one of the best wins of the season, if we're going to be honest.
Sure.
It's probably going to go down as a top 2 win in the season, considering the players who played in it, considering the player who got injured in it,
the moment.
Considering the importance as far as the standings, potentially. Mm-hmm. If the Knicks go on a big run to complete the season and the Cavs kind of stutter, and as far as where the Cleveland Cavaliers are currently seated at the time of the game, which was the second seed. So very important game for the New York Knicks. And they followed it up with a game against the Atlanta Hawks.
With no Trae Young.
No Trae Young. And
no Brunson.
No Jalen Brunson as a result of the injury in the previous game. Atlanta Hawks, who knocked the Knicks out of the first round of the playoffs a few seasons ago. Completely different Knicks team, one that was led by Julius Randle and Elfrid Payton.
Nerlens Noel.
Everybody who was based the main players in that playoff series against the Atlanta Hawks, I'm pretty sure none of them played in this game except for Alec Burks. So again, Jalen Brunson was out, and immediately you see that, the offense was not offensing. Shades of the Golden State Warriors game from the previous week. Knicks went about 4 minutes without scoring a single point. The Atlanta Hawks got off to a great start. Started off really good offensively. The Knicks could not match them. Were missing everything. They were getting good shots. They were getting good threes up.
Yeah, it jumpers, wasn't bad offense. The shots just wasn't falling.
And the shots were not falling. And
without your number one option, it's hard to get a win like that.
Yeah. They went up by 22 points in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Halftime came.
Dante, like, he was supposed to be the number one scoring option this game. And his shot really wasn't falling. He was getting good shot after good shot. He took 17 threes this game,
mm-hmm.
had 21 points, but it just wasn't falling. Like, McBride was 3-for-10 from three, 4-for-11 from three, was Bogdanovich. Everyone was just struggling, but they competed. It wasn't like we were getting routed by the Hawks. It just was a real ugly game to watch.
I mean, we were getting routed for a half, and then the second half, the Knicks came out and they cut into the lead, fought, got it down from 22 to a tie game.
Well, when I say routed, I'm saying like Atlanta wasn't coming down, hitting three after three, and then like it wasn't just like we were being outclassed. It was just like the Knicks couldn't score. Atlanta would probably score in a possession, go three possessions without scoring, and then score in another possession. It was just an ugly game to watch, to be honest.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to say it like Atlanta Hawks was just so much better than the Knicks. It's just the Knicks didn't have their players.
Yeah.
They didn't have their offensive players. They didn't have their best players. The only starter who played in the game was, Isaiah Hartenstein also played in this game, but the only guy who started the season as a starter was, that's not true either.
He didn't start it. Dante DiVincenzo.
Dante DiVincenzo, right, is the only like, okay, yeah, he's definitely going to be the starter when it comes to the playoffs,
yeah.
Depending on how you feel about Hartenstein, you know. But, yeah, this was a game. Could they have won this game, the Knicks? Yeah, because they eventually tied the game. They eventually, you know, they got it close enough, but they end up losing this game 116-100.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I really don't have much for this game. You come into this game, you know Jalen Brunson ain't going to play. I'm kind of happy that he didn't play. I think that the more rest you could get him, especially when they had 2 days of rest going into the next game,
mm-hmm.
let him heal up as much as he needs because he's the most important player on this team. And, yeah.
And I think these last two games showed that just because we traded for Alec Burks and Bojan doesn't mean that they're definitely you good.
Yeah, you seen that?
No, I didn't see that. But as a result of this trade, it doesn't guarantee that everyone's going to get minutes because you see Alec Burks only played 12 minutes this game. The last game, he only played 11. And he shot 5-for-14 from this game. It was just an ugly game all around. So, like, Tibbs is just seeing who he can rely on during this stretch that the guys are out.
AKA not Alec Burks.
Yeah, he can't rely on Alec Burks right now. Even though, like, I still have faith in Alec Burks. I just think he's taking too many bad shots. But if he's playing within the offense, if he has Randle in the lineup, if he has Brunson in the lineup, and all he has to do is catch and shoot, you can rely on Alec Burks for that. But now you got to rely on him to dribble, create a shot, run the point guard off the bench. It's asking a lot from him. It's bringing back memories from when he was being a point guard over quickly three seasons ago, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I still have further faith in Alec Burks. He's a 40% three-point shooter before coming to the Knicks. Right. If he gets back into a catch and shoot role, he should be able to get back to that. What you want to ask?
How much it costs you? That bail that you're shooting Alec Burks right now.
It's pretty cheap.
How much that cost you? It didn't cost you that much? No? It ain't take no zeros out your pockets? Okay.
It's pretty cheap.
That's a lot of bail you shooting him right now. I'm just...
He's proven himself already. I understand he's getting older, but he's proven that he can be relied on to be a lot better than what he showed us.
It's a lot of butts that you're putting into your defense also, but
I'm not putting any butts anywhere for the record.
Okay, if you say so. Anyway, next game.
Orlando comes to New York City.
Yeah.
Let me make sure I'm not giving any false information because I feel like they've been here for several games, if I'm not mistaken. The Magic. But they came to Madison Square Garden. I was about to lie to y'all. Good thing I didn't. Knicks get Jalen Brunson back for this game.
Mm-hmm.
Good news. Some more good news came before this game that we're going to touch on later. But pertaining to the Orlando Magic, the Magic were down Jalen Suggs, who's proven to give Jalen Brunson some fits in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I was happy to see that. And Brunson came back and immediately just put his foot on Orlando's neck. It seemed like the Knicks really wanted to win this game. They wanted to make sure that they got the fourth seed back. Because before this game, Orlando had the fourth seed in their possession. The Knicks had the fifth seed. And it was only one game difference. And we haven't beaten Orlando all year. So this is going to be an important game for the Knicks to take, and they took it as seriously as they could. They pretty much played an incredible defense in the first half against the Magic. Paolo and one other player were the only scorers in the first quarter, if I'm not mistaken. And after the first half, the Knicks pretty much just had complete control over this game. I'm not even sure if Orlando ever took a lead. The Knicks won this game 98-74.
It wasn't after the first half. The entire first half, the Knicks had control too.
Yeah.
This was a game where the Knicks came out and were like, yeah, y'all not going to win this one. It don't matter who we're missing.
Yeah.
And the main reasoning for that was Jalen Brunson to begin with. Like, he wasn't the main reason we won this game. I think it was a collective effort. But the way that you could see, as soon as game started, first possession of the game, Isaiah Hartenstein blocking. Next possession of the game, they trying to get to the paint, trying to score, trying to hit threes, come back, block the game. The Knicks came in saying, we are not going to get swept in the regular season series against the Orlando Magic. It does not matter who's here. We got 2 days off. Jalen Brunson has missed a few games. He only played 30-something seconds against the Cleveland Cavaliers and hasn't played since. So he's well-rested, and he came out looking like the all-star version, you know, the guy who got voted into the all-star game, the guy who some people are saying should be considered for maybe the fourth or fifth slot for the MVP ballot. A guy who's probably going to finish in one of the all-NBA teams, and Jalen Brunson, he looks like that guy in this game. And he hasn't looked like that guy in a while. He's looked tired. He's looked like sluggish. Mm-hmm. And we'll go into that part a little bit later as far as the importance of certain players and why Jalen Brunson has looked tired. But getting back to this game, Brunson looked great. He looked like he was that guy. He could have dropped 30 in this game if we needed him to. He didn't even play for 30 minutes in this game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everybody just fit into their role. Nobody was tired. Nobody was exhausted. Nobody was feeling hampered by the amount of minutes that they've played. And when this Knicks team is healthy like that and they're focused like that, yeah, they will beat this Orlando Magic team, especially when they're missing one of their best shooters in the starting lineup in Jalen Suggs for a team who's not even offensively like that. This is not a shock considering, okay, Jalen Brunson's back. He's missed a couple of days. He got a little extra rest. All the guys got 2 days of rest. Nobody's super tired. The Knicks should. Jalen Suggs ain't playing. That was the important thing. Jalen Suggs played in the games before this game. And if you tell me Jalen Suggs ain't playing and Jalen Brunson is playing, Knicks should win that one. Yeah. Not that either one of us predicted that last week, but we didn't predict Jalen Brunson to miss a whole game and a half.
Trying to figure out why Bataze wasn't the starter, because I remember he was starting for Orlando the first two games that they came and played us, and he was a big factor in why they was beating us too, I felt like. And he only played 7 minutes. I thought he was hurt. But I don't know. I guess Jalen Suggs is the X factor for the Orlando Magic. Our X factor was Precious Achiuwa.
Right.
Because he came in, led the team in plus minus. He was a plus 25, 15 points, 14 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, and 5 blocks, which was a career high for him. He was by far the best player outside of Brunson to me in this game. He has some slashing potential that I didn't see coming into this. When we traded for him, I didn't think that he was a slasher the way that he's been showing in the last few games.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a soft touch. He has a little bit of a handle. And he still, like, makes good reads and good passes, and he's a good defender. Like, Precious Achiuwa is impressing me in this stretch that we haven't had the stars. I'm not going to lie.
He was a throw-in in the OG Anunoby trade.
Allegedly. Allegedly. Like, I feel like that was just a great trade. That's gonna pay dividends for years to come.
If you're gonna say something is a great trade, then you can legitimately say the OG Anunoby one is a great trade.
Under the radar trade that nobody was even thinking about beforehand too. That doesn't really happen often. Like, we have one of the smartest front offices in the NBA, and we might take it for granted. Like, because the moves that they make are so well thought out. And the guys that they bringing in, we also brought in Shake Milton this week off of waivers. He got waived from Detroit, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks signed him. He's going to be another X-Factor moving forward, even though he hasn't played this week outside of just like a few minutes in this Orlando Magic game. But, man, like, Bogdanović was another solid pickup. I think he's gonna show up a lot more later on in the season, even though we only have 19 games left now.
Yeah, I mean, our
front office is crazy, yo.
He didn't really factor into this game too much. I think he only played like 5 minutes in the second half.
Yeah.
You know, which... We don't need to debate that anymore, really. But just the fact that the minutes are trending downward for both he and for Alec Burks... And the Knicks ain't even healthy. That's all I'm going to say about that. But anyway, since you've already kind of spoiled one of the future topics that we were going to talk about with the
Shake Mill. Still more to talk about.
With the Shake Mill. And we still got plenty to talk about with the Knicks topic of the week. Did you finish off with our Magic? I'm sorry. I didn't.
Yeah, I was all done with that.
Yeah, Knicks won 98.
Packed them up.
98-74.
They only scored 74 points, which is the lowest points that a Knicks opponent has allowed since 2012. That's all we got to talk about. That was a great win.
Yep. Next topic of the week. And this topic was born out of a discussion that we had a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Where it sounded to me like you were undervaluing Julius Randle. And yeah.
Really?
I mean, you were like, oh yeah, the Knicks can band together and make up for what they're missing with Randle.
Yeah, that doesn't mean we undervaluing him. I'm saying
no, not we.
That means that I appreciate the other players that we have on the team.
And the words you were choosing to use was like, oh yeah, we don't need Randle. We can win without him. And I was just kind of like, no, we need him back, especially in the playoffs.
We would like him back for sure.
See, there it goes again. So the question that I have, which we'll get into later, who do the Knicks need back more between Julius Randle and OG Anunoby? And before we get into that in full, let's do the injury updates for both Julius Randle, OG Anunoby, as well as for Mitchell Robinson,
OG Anunoby, and Julius Randle have all been traveling with the team as of late. OG Anunoby is practicing in full with the team, and he's just been cleared for games by the doctors.
You need to read better.
Wow.
You're definitely not Ron Burgundy. He needs to be cleared. He needs to be cleared.
Let me lie in peace. Yo, he's day to day. He's been practicing, and he's still going to get... He needs to be cleared by the doctors.
Yes.
You're right. He does need to be cleared.
Because if he was cleared, then he'd be in the games. We ain't reporting that.
I think he'll be in the next game against Philly, but that's just me. Mitchell Robinson is running. He's jumping again, and he should be able to participate in practice soon. Randle's taking light contact. He's been in the gym Everyone who's seen him working out, they say he's always leaving in like a pool of sweat, working extra hard, trying to get into rhythm before he comes back. And
I don't need to know about a sweat, but okay, go ahead.
Well, the question that you was going to ask me was what?
So who do the Knicks need most on the court right now? If we have to choose between OG Anunoby and Julius Randle coming and playing games first, who would you choose to come back?
I'm going
to
play a little word semantics.
Very good.
Because they're both coming back, I think Randle needs to come back first because he needs to play himself back into rhythm.
Okay.
OG Anunoby, once he comes back, we know what to expect from him, and we know he should have an easier time reacclimating into the offense and into the defense because he doesn't need to dribble to get his shot. He catches and shoot in the corner. He can drive, get a pass, and then dunk it. Julius Randle needs to dribble, shoot, get his shots in the mid-range and fend off double teams, read the plays. Like, he has to play himself into rhythm, and if he doesn't, it's only been negative.
All right, I'm going to rephrase
in the past for
us. I'm going to rephrase the question, and I'm going to make the case for both before I give my answer.
Okay.
The case for OG Anunoby. The Knicks defense has been
really good.
Awful statistically since OG went down.
You can't say that when we just held Orlando to 74 points.
How many games have we played since OG Anunoby went down? Does one game mean that the defense has been good? Overall.
It's been several games. We've held several teams under 100 points since OG's gone down. I won't say the defense has been horrible, but it just hasn't been as good as it could be. Continue.
I'm trying to tell you that statistically, the Knicks have been rated as one of the worst teams in the league defensively since OG Anunoby left the rotation.
That's a fact?
That is a fact. I'm telling you that. This is not a debate.
I like
yes.
to debate sometimes.
Have the Knicks had some good defensive games? 100%.
Okay.
A lot of it has to do with Isaiah Hartenstein also being hurt, right?
Mm-hmm.
That plays a factor and a role into it as well.
Yep.
Got to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
And the Knicks offense has actually rated pretty well, without OG and Julius Randle. So if you're going to say that the Knicks needed anything, or are missing anything with both of those guys, statistically, you could say they need OG Anunoby's defense more than they need Julius Randle's offense statistically. Now, with that being said, I know what the numbers say, but we've already seen two games in the past week where the Knicks could not do anything offensively, mm-hmm. right? Especially the one game where Brunson was out against the Atlanta Hawks. Two games where it's like, yo, how many minutes are y'all going to go without scoring? And it's not even like you could point to somebody and say, yo, you're not stepping up. We got guys who we know offensively, that's not your game. Can't rely on Josh Hart to do the stuff that he was doing, that he's been doing, you know, every other game for the past week. Like, that's not his game.
And nobody on Atlanta can stop Randle from scoring. He could drop 45 right. easy on them. So
even though they're rated offensively pretty well, you can still see the flaws in the offense. And the Orlando Magic game, which is the point that you were trying to make, you didn't make it very well, but
that's
the Orlando
crazy.
Magic game showed that the Knicks can survive defensively and are probably overexerting themselves on both ends of the court, which is, why the defense has rated so poorly. If you bring Julius Randle back, now these guys who are defensive guys can focus on that, and both the offense and the defense will go up. So there's a case for both. I still feel like the case is for OG Anunoby. Like, we need him back first. And the way that I was trying to phrase the question was, who does the Knicks team need to just survive this last remaining stretch, right? If we want to fight, the Knicks have a choice right now. They're back in the four seed after that win against the Magic. If you want to make a run for that three seed, I don't think that it's off the table.
The two seed's not off the table.
The two seed is also not off the table. So if you think that the Knicks can move up, which one of these two guys do you need to be back on the court to win the most games for the rest of the season And until the next guy comes back, which player do the Knicks need on the court first? OG Anunoby or Julius Randle? I say it's OG.
My answer still doesn't change.
Okay.
Because
there's no wrong answer.
Even with no OG Anunoby, we've seen that the Knicks can still defend at a high level. If Randle's playing, we can just outscore a bunch of teams, I feel like. Even if we're not playing the most outstanding defense, we can still play good enough defense and then have Jalen Brunson and Julius Randle just carry the load with Dante DiVincenzo playing like how he's been playing.
What are they carrying?
The load. They're carrying the load to bring a win home. You feel me? So I feel like Julius Randle, he's capable of going off of 50 points when he's hot. I can't say the same about OG Anunoby. So as much as I do value OG Anunoby, he's becoming one of my favorite players on the team, if not the second favorite behind Jalen Brunson. There's not much to worry about when it comes to OG, I feel like, outside of health. When you're worried about Randle and you want him to be at the best of his ability or at least close to it, you need him to play himself into a rhythm and you need him to be one of the top options on offense in order for him to be effective. He's pretty awful to watch.
I'm going to give you my quick retort and then we can get into the previews. My quick retort to you is that Julius Randle's shoulder was dislocated, separated, and he is definitely going to need the most healing time out of him and OG Anunoby. Mm-hmm. So for me personally, I'm not worried about whether Julius Randle needs to be as healthy as he can be, not for the first round, but for the second round and for the conference finals. So for me, if he needs to sit out until April, you know, if he needs to work his shoulder back into a good shape, if he needs until April to do that, I'm 100% fine with that. OG Anunoby can come in and fill his shoes as far as the physicality and as far as the defensive effort that Randle doesn't bring, and he can bring the Knicks enough wins, you know, or the same amount of wins that if he wasn't there and Randle was there. So OG just had bone chips floating around.
Some cheese doodles. He had
some Doritos in his elbow.
Some Lays.
Right? So they cleaned that up.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he can shoot effectively, no pain-free or whatever, mm-hmm. I would love to see him back on the court. And I think that will help out Jalen Brunson because he's going to have Dante DiVincenzo on one corner, OG Anunoby on another corner, mm-hmm. and it's going to be him running the offense. It's going to be easier for him. It's not going to be as easy for him offensively as if Randle was also on the court. But it'll be a little bit easier for him than just having Dante, you know, in the corner. So
I was going to argue your point a little bit,
right,
by saying that he needs more, because you said hold him out till April.
Mm-hmm.
If the Knicks were to hold him out till April, that only gives him 8 games to get into rhythm.
Right.
And I'm thinking about the beginning of the season when he had to get himself into rhythm. How many games did it take?
And how many games did it take?
8 games. I'm like, hold on. I can't even argue because all his worst games is like 5-6 games into the season. Yeah, so
I'm guaranteeing you that's kind of why I said what I said. Give him that full April stretch to get back into rhythm. And if he's still not right by the end, you could still afford, depending on who the Knicks play against in the first round,
mm-hmm.
you could still afford for him to not have a 100% healthy game in round one, just like last year. Like, he had maybe one decent game as far as, like, he's doing what we need him to do. It may not be scoring efficiently or whatever, but he did what he needed to do against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of, you know, iffy on some of the other games. But if he does the same thing this round, that's fine.
Yeah.
We don't need him to be 100% in the first round. We need him to be in 100% for the second round and for the conference finals. So even if that by the 8 games, he's still not back to Julius Randle, let's give him another round, another 4 games at least, you know, depending on if the Knicks can sweep or not.
And it also makes it tricky that it's a shoulder injury and he's a
guy
player
who puts his shoulder into. Yeah, so
it's not like a foot injury where he's going to have to get himself back into shape and all that type of stuff, because I'm pretty sure he's on a a treadmill every day, making sure he's got the cardio right.
Right.
He just got to get back into playing shape and be able to knock down his jumpers and then take the contact of playing against some of these big men in the NBA.
And this is going to be very key for some of the Randall haters who wanted to see what this Knicks team looks like, a fully healthy version of this Knicks team, you know, sans Mitchell Robinson, obviously, and wants to see what this team looks like without Julius Randle. Obviously, I have always said the Knicks need Randle. The Knicks need Randle. Brunson needs Randle. Brunson's 3-point percentage, you know, excuse this last game where he was hitting his threes. But he gets easier shots when Randle's on the court. And that's not something OG Anunoby can do. Yeah. They're not going to double team OG Anunoby. They will double team Julius Randle. So, all right, let's get into the previews.
First game coming up, March 10th, 7 p.m. on ESPN. The Knicks are going to be playing against the Philadelphia 76ers in Philly. Oh, no, in New York again. Two-game homestand. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be two games. Well, let me just stick to the first game. No Embiid still. He's going to be out for the season for the most part. He may come back before the end of the regular season. He's out with a meniscus injury, right?
Embiid? Yeah. Last thing that I read on Embiid is that they think that he'll be back for April.
Yeah. And Maxey's also most likely going to be out with a concussion.
I don't know if it's most likely. I read that they are hoping he'll be in for the Sunday game against the Knicks. But he missed the last game with the concussion. And it's going to be... We'll find out.
Yeah.
We'll find out the day of.
That's a tough game to come back.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from a concussion, you don't want to face off against the Knicks your first game back.
He might get another one.
So I got the Knicks winning this game. What's your thoughts?
I also have the Knicks winning this game, and that's going to be key for the Knicks because, you know, Philadelphia is one of those teams that are in that 4-8 spot. So we already beat the Magic to regain fourth place. Mm-hmm. We can push Philadelphia. Philadelphia could find themselves in the 8th seed by the time their week is done, depending on if Indiana decides to, you know, win some games. I don't know what's going on with Indiana. But, yeah, the Philadelphia 76ers have not had a good stretch since Embiid went down, and then it's even worse now that they've missed a few games without Maxey. So these two games are definitely a must-win game for Philly. I just don't see Philly winning.
Especially in New York.
Yeah, they need Embiid to beat us. Like, their best player is Embiid. Our best player is Brunson. Brunson is going to be playing. Brunson looked amazing in this last game against the Magic. I don't imagine that he's going to look any worse against the Sixers. Maybe, you know, we can talk about both games because the Knicks play the Sixers again on Tuesday at the Garden again. And this is going to be,
three straight games and at home for the Knicks. So they got to take care of business.
Yeah, take care of business. You know, push Philly back down. You don't want the Magic to catch you. You don't want the Heat to catch you. You lose these two games, and both of those teams could catapult over you. Well, maybe not the Heat, because the Knicks have the tiebreaker over the Heat. But now you're potentially in a tie with the Heat if you lose both of those games. And you don't want that. Take care of business. Beat them both times, especially if Maxey ain't there for neither one of them with the concussion. But even if he's there for both, it's not the same team without Embiid.
And both of these games are going to be nationally televised. The second game is going to be on TNT. The first one's going to be on ESPN.
Okay.
So I think the Knicks love them nationally televised games.
I think so,
they're
too.
They're definitely going to take care of business. If we get OG Anunoby back for the first game, it's definitely going to be a real blowout, at least for one of these games. If he's not back for the first one, he might be back for the second one. So you know how I feel about that. Yeah, Philly, so I got the Knicks winning both of these.
Philly's currently on a 3-game losing streak. They've lost 7 out of their last 10 games. And, yeah, it does. The things don't look up. They're currently the 7th seed with a half-game advantage over the Indiana Pacers. They lose one of those games, and Indiana wins one game. Philadelphia will officially be in the 8th seed.
The one thing I want to say is the fact that I feel like Philly's going to be playing really hard because of the fact that they're on a losing streak. And after these two games, they're going to face off against Milwaukee. So they not going to be.
Or maybe they could just be like, yo, we're just going to wait till Embiid come back.
I don't see it. They don't got the type of guys on their team. They got like Kelly Oubre, PJ Tucker. No, PJ Tucker's on Clippers. My fault, y'all. But they got a couple guys that they just play hard. I like Tobias the roster Harris, that they have. They have
Anthony Melton, Kyle Lowry.
Yo, stop listening. Yo, this phone. But look, Kelly Oubre, campaign, Paul Reed. I like all three of those guys. Mm. DeAnthony Melton's going to play hard. He's back, right? Kyle Lowry's back. Like, come on. They're going to have
you like campaign.
Buddy Hield. I don't like campaign. I lied. I like Paul Reed, though.
That was like, wait, what?
I like,
what'd you just say?
I like Paul Reed. I wanted us to draft him a few years ago, if you remember. And for the day one listeners, y'all remember I did like a scouting report on Paul Reed. Mm. But they got a couple of guys. It's going to be competitive. But if OG's back, it's not going to be. So,
oh yeah, that's a thing that we don't have any exclusive news. We're still waiting for him to be cleared by the doctors playing the game. But Tibbs said he's day to day, so that means he could be back any day now, depending on the doctors. So, Nick's gonna win both of these games, though, I think.
Yeah, we could go on to the next game. Knicks are gonna be going to Portland to face off against the Portland Trailblazers. The Trailblazers are the second worst team in the NBA. They have a 17-45 record, currently on the 3-game losing streak.
I don't think that they're the second worst team in the NBA. They're second worst team in the West, though.
Second worst team in the Western Conference. I think the Knicks are going to go to Portland, take care of business, show Malcolm Brogdon that he's not good enough to be on this team, and then they're going to be heading back home. So,
what did this table ever do to you? This is like the second time you spanked the table.
I like this table. Like,
oh, five? Okay, we've got an official count of five. Today, only.
Five what?
It's okay. I don't know what it is.
Five slaps?
Yes, five spanks of the table. Yeah, Blazers stink.
Yeah, they
do. The Knicks should not lose this game.
They shouldn't. They on a 3-game losing streak currently. Yes.
If the Knicks are one iota healthier for that game than they are today, the Blazers should get blown out.
I mean, they got blown out by the Rockets last game they played. So, yeah, we should definitely take care of business.
Right. All right. This was a very violent episode of the Knicks Take podcast, especially if you're at table.
We get excited. Come on. Now the Knicks is finally winning again, and then the team finally about to be healthy. Come on. It's the time to get amped up.
It is a time to get amped up because...
God damn it.
Six. this is a time to get amped up because this was the roughest stretch that the Knicks have had all season, missing all of their players. They went through February. They won four games. And they started off, I think they started off as a 3 seed, and they only dropped one place in the standings. Mm-hmm. Missing Julius Randle, missing OG Anunoby, missing Jalen Brunson for games.
And playing tough teams.
Missing Bojan Bogdanovic for a game. Alec Burks not playing well. Trading away Quentin Grimes. You know, this is not, you know, the Philadelphia 76ers have lost more games and dropped in the standings worse than the New York Knicks have just from missing Embiid. And we missed four out of our five best players, or five out of our six best players, depending on how you rank the Knicks. So this was an amazing stretch for this past week for us to win as many games as we did.
Yeah, it was.
To end this whole stretch without Randle, without OG, and still be in the top half of the playoff standings, I wouldn't have minded. I won't mind if we drop after this and get to six. But I would prefer that we can maybe leapfrog the Bucks or the Cavs.
It's still not too late for us to get that 50 win.
It's going to be difficult.
19 games
left.
The Knicks
need to win 13 more games
out of the 19
mm-hmm. in order to get to 50.
Let's get it.
It's going to be difficult. But if we get healthier, then we can do it. But with that said, French, you got anything you want to part to the listeners before we go?
Go watch My Wife and Kids. That show is fire on Netflix. That's about it. But we like to bid you adieu. Thank you for listening to
the Knicks Take podcast.
Peace out, y'all.
The Knicks Take podcast. Yeah, what it do? With